Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the appointed lesson for this day, the parable of the dragnet. There is a dark side to the kingdom. There are texts in Scripture which do not carry great hope for mankind. And these are texts that we are appointed to preach as well as the other. There are those negative texts which offer little comfort and great anxiety. In chapter 13 of Matthew, we have 7 parables, 2 of them stressing the negative, the tares among the wheat and this one. What do they tell us? Well, this particular parable today, it seems to me, strikes us in 3 places. The extension of the invitation to the kingdom of heaven, the reception of the invitation, and the proclamation of the invitation. When we look at this text, we note that as they talk about a net and the sea, we are speaking about the extension of God's gracious invitation to a whole world. None are omitted. The dragnet is cast, this large, long net sweeping a vast area of the sea, certainly implying that we're not just fishing with a pole and a rod, but we're trying to enclose and capture all within the net. The world is our place, and the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ goes out to a whole world, not simply to a few here or there. The net is indiscriminate. It's placed for a large catch. The world is our field. And the catch, the fish, why people? No more than people. People who are sinners and who are in deep need to be caught. All mankind is the target of the net. For all are under the curse and the burden of sin. All are suffering under the judgment of an eternal judge. All must be accountable for what they are. People are the catch. People of every culture, of every place, of every language, of every nationality, it makes no difference, but all are the object of the catch. The mission? The fishermen? Why, we have only one net, if you will. We have only one purpose and meaning, only one instrument, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gracious invitation is that we are to reach out and encounter and confront men with what Christ has done for them, to demonstrate so clearly to them their need by the law and their answer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God's Son in the flesh has borne the guilt, has carried the burden of sin, has shouldered the punishment of death and judgment all within his person on our behalf. He is indeed our substitute. And we are indeed the object of his grace and blessing. Who? Just us? No, the whole world. But I did say something about the reception of the invitation, did I not? It's obvious from the parable that there is a dark side to this parable. That when one looks at the angels who come at the end, not all are cast into the vessel, but some are cast aside. It is our purpose and our calling to proclaim the dark side as well as the other. There is a warning in this text, and as well as in the parable of the tares among the wheat, that we are to communicate clearly to our world. We are not simply here to be positive theologians, but to hold up for God's people and for those outside the church those stark realities and options that stare all of us in the face. We are to communicate clearly that warning. There is, of course, an inexorability to this pattern of events, to this casting of the net and pulling it in, and to the sorting of the fish. I'll tell you what it is. It is the answer to the age-old question, hey, who's in charge here anyway? Well, Christ is in charge. And history follows his direction. We do not live in a chaotic world where events collide and bounce around against one another and we wonder whither and where. But he who is at the beginning of history and time is also at the end. And he is the one who directs the dragnet and the pulling in and the counting and the separation. There is a changeless Christ who has not changed his plan for our world or for time or eternity, for you or for me. There is, of course, a universality in the dragnet. George Pullman, the inventor of the Pullman car, was buried in a solid bronze casket. He was immersed in 10 feet of concrete. For what, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, when the day of judgment arrives, George Pullman will stand before the judge on the same plane with a porter who swept out his trains. There is a universality in the dragnet, a standardization, if you will, on the accountability. And it is a dire warning to a whole world that there is an end. And at the end, we are accountable. One and all, same judgment, same standard, same judge. And furthermore, in considering the reception of the invitation, whether yea or nay, there is a finality to the judgment. Yes, Virginia, there is a heaven and a hell. And we are either one place or the other. It's that stark and that's final. There is no change, no second opportunity. That's why we are confronted with the dark side of the kingdom, are we not? That those who are not in the kingdom of life are cast into the outer darkness, as the text tells us, where there is this gnashing of teeth. But I would tell you that our Lord Jesus Christ would not stop there, but speaks to us of the proclamation of this invitation. It is not his purpose to lead men to darkness and destruction, but to warn them and to issue this gracious invitation that the Holy Spirit in his love and grace and his mercy would open hearts. What is it I tell my Sermon Theory 2 class? For every parable, there is a point of comparison at tertium. But do you know, in looking at this text, I'll have to make a change. The last two verses throw me a double thrust to the parable. First, I'm talking about the single thrust of the warning that there is a division here as one confronts kingdom. But suddenly I see my Lord speaking to the disciples about, what? Have you understood all this? These things is what it says in the text. And they said, well, yes. And he says, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Suddenly we understand that our Lord is referring to all seven parables. Not just this one, but all seven as they take their various looks at the kingdom of heaven from different points of view. Same heaven, same truth. Our Lord puts it upon us that we as his servants are able to communicate everything of which we've spoken today. The language and the concept is not esoteric, exotic, out of this world. But the gospel and even its alternative is cognitive truth. It can be communicated. Do you understand? Yes. And they did. Therefore, he says, I liken all of you to the householder who has all this treasure and brings it out, both the old and the new. As we are to interpret, may I say, the purpose and the meaning of God's history to our world. And that's the bright side of the parable. That's the one that counts for us. That we have the ability under the Spirit of Christ to bring out what is old and to re-examine in the light of the gospel all the promises and events and words and communication of God to our world and to his people, so that others may see what we mean by there was a dragnet and pulled in and some were cast into the vessel, the righteous, and the others cast aside. God grant that God in his mercy touch our hearts with the divine imperative of such a parable, this or the tares, to see the haste and the need and the primacy of communicating what God has wrought in his Son to a world lost in sin and darkness. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.